I'm calling to order the council meeting for the Borough of Edgewood. Ms. Bastianini, will you call the roll?
Mr. Bright.
Here.
Dr. Wallace. Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson.
Here.
Dr. Petrola.
Here.
Mr. Fuller.
Here.
Ms. Schaefer.
Here, and let the record reflect that the mayor and solicitor are also in attendance. If all would please rise to recite with me the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, we will entertain items from the floor. If you would sign in at the podium and state your name, address, and why you're here.
Hello, everyone. I'm Heather Evans. I'm 318 Garland Street, and everyone, I think, knows why I'm here already. I'm here for the chickens. I'm trying to fight the Ordinance Article 5, Subsection 217B7. I have filed a variance already, so I'm just waiting for the hearing date. And I just want to say how wonderful chickens are, and my neighbors love them. I give them eggs. One actually thinks it's like a therapeutic concept to them. They're great for fertilizer, and they're really good pets, kind of like ugly puppies. And that's, I really just want to say I want to try to fight for the chickens, and anything I can do, any questions you have, let me know, and I'll, if I can't answer them, I'll find an answer for you. Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate your email, and we have it's rather timely. Julie, you want to say what we've done so far with that?
Sure. The borough is currently working on an update to our zoning ordinance, and we have hired a consultant to work on that process. And so we are in the early stages of that process, but as it moves forward, we will have some public hearings and some meetings about the zoning ordinance, and we'd be happy to bring this issue up with our consultant and have them review it. And there will be public notice given for any of those meetings, so I encourage you to come to those as well. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And I do appreciate the way you've handled this, Heather.
Yes.
We've come a long way since Girl Scouts.
I know.
Heather's mother was the Girl Scout cookie queen. Back in the day, but you know, I really do appreciate, you know, that your email, which was informative, and also that you're following the processes that we work under. You know, ordinances are our laws, and you know, no one thinks that you were a scaff law or anything like that, you know. So just really appreciate, you know, the process that you're going through, and you know, eye for the zoning hearings, okay?
Thank you.
Sure.
Good evening. Amy Andrews. It's been a year. I'm here for the Edgewood Foundation for my yearly report. Mr. Cook handed out a handout, about a six-page handout in the beginning, basically stating this is our review of 2013. So most of what is in here states what we did last year, but it also has some new events and the dates for this upcoming year's events that we are repeating. New thing that we put into the report this year, you'll see at the heading of each, is whether this is a free event or community support or fundraiser, because I thought it was important for everybody to realize how many free events we do sponsor every year, as opposed to the two fundraisers that we currently have to raise that money. Three if you count our annual appeal. I mean, nobody has to leave their home for that one. So at the very end of this is our 2013 budget. We started with a spending budget of just a little over $25,000 proposed to spend, and we spent $13,900. The difference in that pricing is we had originally proposed to pull the $7,500 for the playground out of our working budget account from our bank account. However, when we were given our yearly statement from the Pittsburgh Foundation for our grant-making money that we're allowed to use, it was nearly $7,500, so we pulled that from our Pittsburgh Foundation money instead of our bank account. So that's where the difference is there. We proposed to raise $11,500, and we actually raised a little over $13,000. So from year to year, the money that we pull in from our annual appeal and our two fundraisers keeps our roughly $25,000 we spend a year flowing through nicely and keeping our investments in the Pittsburgh Foundation. We're currently looking at how to move forward with some of our money, and we're constantly raising money to keep the playground money going in our account, too. So every Oktoberfest is specifically earmarked for the playground, whether we're going to need trees or shrub, you know, grass seed, flowers, whatever we're thinking of that. A couple new events. If you turn to the very back page, we've proposed, and these are all in the works. There's nothing promised, but I'd like to bring them up just to see. And if you had any ideas, you could email them. A caroling night where we were going to have, whether it be music or caroling singers, go through the neighborhood where you would pay probably a small amount of money to have these people sent to your neighbor's house. And they would do a song or two and then move through the neighborhood and just do a caroling night in the winter, sometime in December, usually probably on a weekday, just to bring some more spirit into the neighborhood, because everybody's decorations and lights, it's just a great time of year to bring that cheer to some people who may not get out for other events. Mr. Cook has also been working with us to start this community volunteer database with the library. And we're in the process of acquiring a laptop right now, and we have a volunteer who's willing to enter all of the data that we get from people who come down to sign up for specific events or groups, whether it be the library, the foundation, the garden club, and we're going to keep this database available for our email sending supply here, so we can send it to all, send it to one, send it to five, but whoever wants to clean up Brinton Road in April, we can send to those specific people who signed up to volunteer for that. Because we're always in the need of volunteers, and it's just getting harder and harder to find them. So we're going to try and do a small reception to bring those people to the library soon. We don't have a specific date yet, but we'll let you know what that one is going to be.
June 14th,
okay. and also, we turned in the paperwork 3 days ago for the Pittsburgh Foundation's Day of Giving. We're hoping to use that as our annual appeal instead of sending out paper letters. So we're going to see how many people we can get with that, and the people who we don't hear from, we'll be sending the paper letters to again this year to help save a tree or two instead of using them or planting them. So, do you guys have any questions about any of the events that we've done, anything that we're planning?
What I see coming up is Earth Day,
yes,
which is April 26th with the rain date of April 27th.
Correct.
Also the newcomers meeting, which you should have received an email invitation to save the date, which is May 16th. Hope that
the
council will attend. It really is a wonderful opportunity to meet new residents. And if you have neighbors who are relatively new.
Or if they're not relatively new and they just want a refresher on who you are and who we are and what we do, then they're always welcome to come.
Yeah, just let the foundation know. And I think, will you give us some invitations that we can pass out?
Yes.
Would that be possible?
Yes, they're getting those together right now. We always have extras, so we can bring those to the office.
And then
there's also the senior brunch.
And then there's the senior brunch, which is May 11th.
And those invites should be out, I think, this week, maybe the next week. But those will all be in your mailboxes also. And that is on Mother's Day this year, which is always a really nice brunch day for that. We've done it a couple times on Mother's Day, and it works out really well. So for the attending, sometimes all of us that have don't have seniors involved, but it's the brunch is a wonderful event also, and we will be looking for another place to put a tree, because that is what we give as a gift nowadays. We decide if there's a tree that's come down in Edgewood once it's ready to be replanted. We like to do that. And last year's graduating class has a tree on Dewey. And Lois Winslow, who was our last Limpert Award winner, her tree is on Greendale. So we'd like to keep the trees growing in Edgewood, and we'd love to help with that. The other thing that I don't have on here, Angel Larian, who is our vice president, would like to form a committee that is Community Day oriented and gather everybody who participates or would like to participate before August and try and get an idea of what everybody is doing so that we can kind of come up with our plan for the day. I know we're always trying to go, well, they're selling water, or they're selling water, or no, they're selling water, or who's selling water, and who's selling cookies, and
you can just get in touch with Julie. Yeah. We have that information, and we try to have people come together.
Right, and that's what Angel wants to do, and she'll be contacting.
Just have her contact.
Yeah, her skating stuff is over this weekend, and then she'll be starting onto her other stuff. So just to have a sit down with some people, maybe one time, just to get an idea of who's working with what group. Okay, that's the only thing I didn't have on there. Any questions?
What do you meet for the on the 26th?
The 26th for the cleanup?
Yeah.
That's a good, probably at Ed's house. No.
Start there.
For Earth Day, we meet down at the field.
April 20th, cleanup day?
Cleanup day.
That's always at the field, in front of the field house. There's a table, and they have gloves
and
vests and garbage bags.
And we'll have water and granola bars for your sustenance while you're out and trekking the fields.
It's always good to grab a neighbor and...
And we have an outline of the streets so that you can kind of tell us where you're going, and we can guide you where people haven't been. But that'll be at the field house.
Anything else? Well, once again, it's a wonderful partnership that we have with the borough and the Edgewood Foundation, promoting things and working together. And we're very glad that that's continuing.
And we also look forward to putting on a nice party to open up the playground when we finally get.
So do we.
Yes. So we would like to sponsor that and get that organized for you so that we can just make it a grand opening for everybody, and I think it'll be a great day.
Thank you very much.
Email me if any questions.
Anything else?
Hope to see you all at cleanup.
Thank you. Any other items from the floor? Mayor Cook.
Yes.
You're going to be busy in a couple minutes. Do you want to swear in Officer Joseph Miller? Tell us a little bit about Officer Joseph Miller.
Officer Miller, if you come forward. He's interviewed with us. We approved his joining our force on Friday. He and I had the opportunity to right along with other officers, and it just so happened that there was ran a red light, got on the parkway, and...
Not Officer Miller.
No.
Okay, just checking.
And so he got to see how our officers behave in such situations. I think it was a good learning experience for me to witness this, and I think good opportunity for Officer Miller to see up front how we're doing things. And fortunately, several of the other officers already are familiar with him, and the chief knows him, and so we're looking forward to a very good performance from Officer Miller. So at this time, if you would raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Joseph Miller.
I, Joseph Miller.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
Obey and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
The Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And that I will discharge.
And that I will discharge.
The duties of police officer.
The duties of police officer.
For the borough of Edgewood.
For the borough of Edgewood.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Be safe.
Officer Miller, welcome to Edgewood. We look forward to seeing you and hearing good things about you.
Thank you.
I think you'll appreciate the relationship that our residents have with our police officers, and they respect the mutual respect that you'll find here. Sure. You received the minutes of February 18th in your packets. Does anyone have any changes to them prior to Mr. Wainwright's motion? Corrections or additions?
I move to approve the minutes of February 18th, 2014.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. Minutes of March 3rd, 2014. Does anyone have any corrections, additions, deletions?
Then I move to approve the minutes of March 3rd, 2014.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Any nays? Motion passes. All right. Motion to authorize payments for bills and for goods and services, Mr. Wainwright.
I move to authorize the payment of bills for goods and services received by the borough, having been reviewed and approved by the General Government Committee, from the general fund in the amount of $62,694.92, and from the sewer fund in the amount of $94,177.65, for a total of $156,872.57.
Second.
Questions or comments? Mr. Wainwright, you have anything you want to share with us?
Well, there's a big Alcosan payment we make quarterly, which is a large chunk of money there. We pay the library their quarterly $10,000. It cost $7,800 to outfit the new police car with all its equipment. So, and so we spent about $4,400 this month for salt. That should hopefully be it. We were just under our 140%, so we didn't have to. So that's good. And I think that's about it for major expenditures for this month.
Any questions for General Government Committee? We received the bills in your packet for review. Ms. Bastianini, would you call the roll?
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. Committee reports, General Government, Mr. Wainwright.
I have no report beyond what I have already given.
Thank you. Police report, Mayor Cook.
In addition to what's in your packet, I would like to report that the new car, the roof will remain black. We're waiting for the School for the Deaf to receive the car in order to finalize the detailing on the car. The officers are all pretty excited about having the new car. And then also, of late, we've had more DUI arrests than normal. So one of our officers was out on a DUI task force from the East Hills group that we belong to, and there was another arrest, as was there one from our night shift. And so the officers are going to be paying a bit more attention here, since there seems to be an uptick in DUI driving.
Is there, other than it being
this was also prior to
this weekend,
yeah.
Is there any
idea
of why this, is this a trend that's happening other places as well?
We're going to be checking on that.
We have a breathalyzer.
Yes.
Any questions for, yes, Mr. Wainwright?
I have no questions for the mayor. I guess I should have mentioned before I moved on. The audit was completed. We'll have a final report soon. General government will meet with them probably in early April. And I looked at the next newsletter. It looks good. I think that's, is there anything else I missed? No, I think that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Wainwright. Thank you, Mayor Cook. Public safety, Mr. Fuller.
Public safety met. We talked about police staffing. And so there was one officer, part-time officer, sworn in tonight. There's two more in the works that have to pass the finality of their tests, and they should be sworn in shortly. Met with the fire department. Also, they were kind enough to sit down after their calls that day. They had two of them, House Fire in Churchill, House Fire in Swiss. Them. I can't think of anything else. John?
Marcus.
Oh, yeah. One of the reasons we are hiring part-time officers is because of Officer Marcus leaving, and there's also a chance that we might lose another full-time officer. So.
And the motion for Officer Marcus will be further in the committee action. Is there any other questions or comments for public safety? Community development, Mr. Bright or Mr. Wilson?
I have nothing to report. There will be no additional activities, but there will be in the near future. There's a meeting on the schedule, and I forget the date.
25th, I believe.
All right, so we'll stay tuned. Is that what you're telling us, Mr. Bright?
That's right.
All righty, we'll stay tuned. But Public Works, Mr. Wilson.
No real news, did not meet.
We have a drive-by.
Yeah, I rescheduled this drive-by sometime this week, hopefully get
that
out of
it. We should do that
tonight. Yeah, I plan to do that new business.
Okay. Community Services, Dr. Petrola.
I don't have anything to report.
Personnel, Mr. Fuller.
Personnel met to discuss the ascension and to also discuss the advertising for an assistant, financial administrative assistant for the new borough manager. We also briefly touched on another DPW person. Are burning out the individuals this winter. There is an advertisement scheduled to go out, and we'll move on from there.
Any questions?
Would that mean that we're going to have five DPW people?
There's a possibility.
Awesome. We're in discussion with that.
Awesome.
Mayor Cook, about that, and also with respect to the finance and administrator position. This is part of our budget. We had talked about having a position in the budget to assist or fill in once we have the new borough manager in place. And so there was a lot of work done on behalf of the personnel committee. Bassanini looking at things with respect to what would be in the best interest and most cost-effective in staffing. So that's the motion that you'll see before you today. Can I cover that? Pension, Mr. Bright.
The Pension Committee met on March 5th, and I have a handout. So to sum it up, Sam D'Alessandro from Prime Solutions Advisors gave us a review of their methods and also the results from 2013. Now, for the last 2 years, they've had good results, well above the actuarial projections of needed income. Also, as you can see from these exhibits, and we all know this anyway, the pensions are underfunded. And mainly, the pension committee right now is studying that issue, and we're not finished. We're continuing to study it to see exactly how much is underfunded and if we need to address that issue. Now, Prime Solutions Advisors is moving towards a 60% stock and 40% bond mix. And the two reasons are the change in the bond market after having a steady fall in interest rates from 1980 until 2012. And starting out, interest rates were sky high. And with rates falling, bond owners made big capital gains. But in 2013, there was a reversal in interest rates. And most analysts are expecting to see rising rates for a prolonged period, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. Nobody knows how long. But so this has made bond investing difficult. Most bond funds last year lost money. Now, this year, they're making money because there's been a short-term reversal and rates have been falling. But no analysts are expecting that to last. So anyway, since stocks are doing okay, Prime Solutions Advisors is shifting to a heavier stock mix. Now, they have a very complex system of investing, which is hard to summarize in a few minutes. We could invite Sam in to give us a talk on that. Now, getting on to the next issue here, the Edgewood Police Department has formed their own pension committee. They contemplate having two policemen and two council members on their committee. So this will be working side by side with our council pension committee. And so two officers were present at the meeting, and they were treating it as an informational meeting. We'll have more to talk about on that issue later. Now, I did a study of the investment results for the last few years. And by the way, if you look at these exhibits, these two show the results for 2013. These were prepared by Prime Solutions Advisors. Then, if you look at these two pages, this is from the actuaries. It shows the amount of their estimate of underfunding. And the trend isn't good. And by the way, both pension plans have the same percentages. January 1, 2009, 95% funding ratio. January 1, 2011, 89% lower. January 1, 2013, 75%. This is an unofficial number, but the official number is probably going to be real close to this. So, I mean, there's no question about it. The trend is down, and that's not good. Now, I did this little study, these three pages that you find here. And if you look at pages 2 and 3 of this, all I did was I took the annual statements from Prime Solutions Advisors, and I summarize them on the left-hand side of the page. And on the right-hand side, where it says actuarial assumption, these are the percentages that the actuaries created that show what they expected the performance of the investments to be over this period. Now, if you look at the police pension, the actuarial assumption was 7% rate of return over the 7 years. This is a 7-year study. And in the middle of the page, we have the actual total returns taken from the Prime Solutions Advisors studies or summaries. And if you look at the number at the bottom of the page, the compounded rate of return over 7 years, under the actuarial assumption is 7%, but the real number was 2.3%. That's a lot lower. That's about one-third. Then if we look at the non-uniformed, the actuarial assumption was 6% for 3 years, 6.5% for 4 years. If you compound that over 7 years, it comes out to 6.3%. But the real total return from the Prime Solutions Advisors reports was 2.8%, which is well below, more than 50% below that. Now, the real killer here was the year 2008, where the total return was minus 25.3% in the police pension, minus 23.2% in the non-uniformed. Stocks were down roughly 33 to 35% that year, so this was cushioned by the heavy bond percentage. But that 1 year has murdered the 7 year total return. So it does raise a few issues here. We're in the fifth year of the economic recovery. Most recoveries only last 5 or 6 years. So when are we going to have another recession? And when we do have one, it's going to hurt these investments. So we probably don't have more than a couple more good years to make up this shortfall. Now, if you look at the front page here, I added up the shortfall based on the real total return compared to the actuarial estimate of the total return. And it shows a total deficiency of over the 7 years of $775,801.30. The police deficiency, $503,293.08. And non-uniform, $272,508.22. Roughly $100,000 a year underfunding. Now, I don't think that this study goes far enough to be definitive. Sam Del Sandro is going to give us another 7 years of data from the prior 7 years, so we'll have a 14-year base. But it's probably not going to change this very much. Now, another thing, too, this is a non-actuarial study. And when the actuaries figure out how much money is needed, they take the average age of every employee. They take the average age of the expected retirement of each employee, and then they apply the commissioner's standard mortality table to come up with an average lifespan of our employees. And they also have to crank in the average pay and the amount of pension money being put in for each employee. And then the number of years they are expected to be receiving a pension. And it's some complicated formulas. It's best done by computer. And so they are looking at a lot of other things, too, other than pure investment performance. Nevertheless, we need to talk to the actuaries about this, but we're not finished with this study yet. We're going to crank in 7 more years. It does raise the issue of are the actuaries giving us the right kind of assumptions for what? Because the assumptions over a long period of time should be the same as the real return. The actuaries create the actuarial assumption, so they're responsible for it. The borough is not responsible for it. Sometimes these numbers can be changed by political considerations, which is normal in the business world. However, if so, this would date from more than 7 years ago, because these numbers have not changed. So I don't think they're political, but who knows? They seem to be too high. If they're too high, we have to put in more money. So we're trying to zero in on that issue and get a definitive study on it. And also, we then need to talk to the actuaries and see why there are these differences. and see if they really have been looking at our plan closely enough and doing their job. Say, we don't know. So being a little bit paranoid, I think we need to challenge the actuaries on this.
I did ask them about it, and they said that they do a 20 to 30 year span when they're looking at it, and they believe that 6.5 was a good assumption for both plans. So that is what they think it should be at.
I know some boroughs are, and municipalities, Monroeville, Scott, and a couple others are dropping theirs, but they're still way high. They're 8 and 7.5, and they're coming back down because their assumptions are just going off the chart.
Okay, so in the scheme of things, where are we?
Well, I don't think we know for sure where we are, but let's face it.
Add on their numbers right here.
I understand that, but looking at municipal investments,
we are minimally underfunded.
Okay.
We're probably underfunded enough that we could fund the plan more without losing the state subsidy.
And I think it's important to remember our MMO will increase the more underfunded we are. So we will likely put in more this year than we did last year. So our municipal contribution will be going up.
Okay.
How much did we pay from the general fund above and beyond the state aid?
I believe that we got, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, I apologize.
That's okay.
I think that we got about 70 from the state, and we paid, the total we paid was, I think, 112 to 115.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds about right. I thought it was in that ballpark,
right?
Because it seemed to me that a little more than 50% was covered by state aid,
yes,
or the MMO as it currently exists. That's what I sort of had in my head.
Right.
3 years ago, we did that smoothing and took the low route before you got here, so we knew.
Right.
Well, if you look at the summary that Mr. Roy is giving you. What's sort of alarming about it is that the amount of money that was in the plans as of 2007 is about the same as what we have in the plans now, because of what happened just in that one year. It's really very telling on how that arithmetic just works. That one bad year really took us a long time to come back without even considering smoothing. Obviously, with the police plan, you have more people receiving benefits now, so that further compounds that situation, because you're not getting the money that we are putting into the plan is also being used for benefits. But I would agree with what Roy said, that at this point we're minimally distressed where I go. I haven't studied the Act 205 as amended on this issue, so I'm not really prepared to tell you what that means. I will take a look at it just so I'm a little bit more familiar with it. I don't think there's any remedies that we should be looking at this point, Mr. Breyer. Are you?
I don't have a remedy because I think we need to continue to study this.
Okay.
And get more data and also have a discussion with the actuaries. Now, let me put it this way. The actuarial formulas are complex, and I created an exhibit that anybody can produce. It's just adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing. But it meets all GAAP requirements, generally accepted accounting principles. So it is from the accounting point of view, this is 100% accurate. And I think we just need to keep looking at this. There is certainly a possibility we need to up what we're putting into the pension plan.
Well, if that's the, as you continue on in your exploration of this with the pension committee, Mr. Bright, it probably would be once you feel comfortable having talked with the actuaries, to have Mr. D'Alessandro come and speak with counsel and review things with counsel so that we can make good decisions moving forward.
Now the pension committee has not propose anything at this point. We haven't voted on anything. We haven't proposed anything. We're just looking at the situation.
How long has Sam's firm been in
the
4 years?
Sam? Okay. But they also managed the nationwide plan, which we had before we had the current plan. So they have 14 years of data, 10 years from nationwide and 3 or 4 from the new plan. The new plan is definitely better. The old plan was a good plan, too. And nationwide is a good source, too. It's just the new plan is better. And I sell the nationwide product. I'm acquainted with it. So it's a good plan, what we have. They use a very cautious approach. I think they're doing it right. And by the way, the pension committee has never told them to change anything about what they're doing. We're just letting them do their job. We're not meddling with them in any way, because it appears that they're competent to do the job right on managing the money. We are not don't have any reason to think they're not doing it right. We also don't have any specific reason to think the actuaries aren't doing their job right either. But it doesn't hurt to look at this stuff and challenge
it. We should do our due diligence, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. And I think the main issue is more with the actuaries than is with Prime Solutions Advisors. By the way, the transformation from Nationwide to the new plan did cost us some money, because it came during a rise in the stock market, and they were moving about 10% of the money per month. So we did lose a few percentage points that year. It was a one-time deal. It was probably the more responsible way to move the money. So, you know, we can't complain about how they did it, because nobody knows how the stock market's going to move ahead of time. You only find out afterwards.
Yeah. If anybody does, please tell
us.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
Is there some reason why the police pension plan's running at, the non-uniform is running at 6.5%, that they bounced up from 6 actuarial values, and the police pension plan is going 7 straight up? Because there's a significant difference when you stretch those numbers out over 20 years.
Well, by the way, the actuaries lowered the police assumption to 6.5 at the end of last year. So they're now using 6.5. And why there were two different numbers, I couldn't tell you.
We think that they used to be invested differently. They were in two different buckets. So that changed the assumptions. But as of late, at least for the past 7 years, they've been invested the same. So we have them at the same assumption currently.
Currently?
Yes. It's been the police and the non-uniform are both at 6.5%.
Okay. I think we just missed this on the report then. Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes. Briefly, Mr. Bright, I realize that item number 3 on your about the police pension committee, I realize that it's in the formative early stages. I would offer to review that if we're to. I've seen a lot of different arrangements with those types of committees. And there are a couple legal issues, but I would offer to help you with that, is all I'm going to say right now.
Yeah, well, the police have taken the initiative to set this up.
I think they were reading their contract and saw it was in there, so they decided to form one. So that's where they're at right now.
And I think they're going to ask us to appoint 2 of council members to their committee. I guess maybe we'll pick 2 members of the pension committee.
We'll discuss that.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and it's in their contract, and we're council.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have no opinion on that offhand. I mean, no personal opinion.
Well, I think the reason being is because neither one.
Explanation.
Okay. I don't think it was as council members, you know, necessarily providing guidance. It was more, you know, somebody with pension experience could explain things to them.
I agree. I think This is the money we're going to get
yeah,
one
those,
day. We
those
might as
are
well.
Kind of those are things that we really need to have delineated moving forward.
We have the language in the police contract without reviewing it, without reading but just from my recollection of what was discussed in the negotiations, is to give the police officers access to
sure.
the information concerning the plan and to give them an opportunity to receive information.
Sure, as should be, and that's fine. Thank you, Mr. Bright, very much. This is very informative, and appreciate your calculations.
Yeah, we're going to have another meeting in a month or two and continue with this study.
Mr. Wilson, Mr. Fuller, do you have anything to add? All right. Three Rivers Wet Weather, there will be a board meeting in 2 weeks. Mr. Peduto has appointed the city representatives to the Alcosan board. Brenda Smith has been appointed to the Alcosan board. She's in Nine Mile Run. We'll also be working on having information sessions with elected officials regarding the consent orders and further discussion with the EPA. We have, we are in the process of working with Alcosan in discussions with the EPA being sort of municipal representatives of the wet weather plans from the municipalities and discussing green infrastructure and also the second part of the consent orders that will be coming. So stay tuned with that. And with Connect, I understand, Mr. Wilson, you had to leave a little early.
I saw Julie, so I ran out.
Which is why we have Ms. Bastianini as our second here. Do you want to fill us in on Connect, please?
Sure. Connect met is an executive session last Thursday, and the main focus of the meeting was to talk about sewers and the eventual transfer of the trunk lines to Alcosan. There was a lot of talk about how everybody in the Connect community seemed to support this idea, but there was not broader support for there are 83 municipalities in the Alcosan district, so they wanted to work on strategies to get everybody on board, and then also other communities in the county who might not be part of Alcosan but also have sewer issues themselves and might need to know what's been going on down here in the city. So that was the main focus of the meeting. We also discussed briefly some issues about transportation that will be discussed more thoroughly at the next executive session, which is second week in April.
Yeah, Three Rivers, and I think all of you received that report. Dr. Petrola, I don't know whether you have or not. I know that it was discussed at the Local Government Academy, Mr. Wainwright, regarding or mentioned that Connect and Three Rivers Wet Weather did a study looking at the most effective way and the most cost-efficient way of implementing repairs and also efforts to regionalize the wet weather control issues. And part of that was looking at turning over or working with Alcosan to take the trunk lines, the main arteries. The municipalities would still own their sewer lines, but the main trunk lines then turned over to Alcosan, which would be beneficial, majorly beneficial to us. and so we're in the process of working that through. It was very well received by the Connect communities, which are the contiguous communities that go into the city, which then goes to Alcosan. So For the Connect communities, the trunk lines are important, and
big help with respect to the regional issue. So that's what we're working on right now. That's also that report also helped facilitate our wet weather plans, and also was well received by the EPA as a recognition that we understand the wet weather issues and wet weather control, and kind of reinforced their positive step with us by not mandating upfront penalties, which was a major part of our negotiation when we were in the wet weather control consent orders. And with that exciting discussion on sewers, Borough Solicitor's report, Mr. Barry.
That was a funny introduction.
At the end of the line here.
At the end of the line.
I'll accept it. At the last meeting, we discovered a discrepancy in the contract documents relating to the Canyon Field project, which we needed to investigate further. It turned out that there was a real issue having to do with the contractor's workers' compensation coverage, which we thought we were going to have to bring to council, but which we were able to get resolved. And the contractor now has increased its workers' compensation insurance from $500,000 to $1 million. So it was a fairly significant issue, at least as far as the specs were concerned. Hopefully it never becomes a real issue. Amy Shrem from my office took care of that while I was away, and then Julie closed the deal. Right.
I'll go with that, yeah.
it was a late afternoon call on a Friday, of course. I think it was, right? I want to thank Mr. Barry and his partners, and also Ms. Bastianini for working things through with our engineers and making sure that, you know, what that there could be a positive remedy to this. We kept you in the loop with respect to what was going on, and as it turned out, the contractor was willing to do what was necessary, so that was a good thing. But I do appreciate the scramble and your accepting my calm discussion as we were.
will we be paying for that too, probably?
No.
That is part of the specs, which we mean is part of the
contract.
Right, right. Okay. Just part of yeah. All right. So that was the good thing.
That's the good news. There's no bad news.
That's why it didn't need to come before to be, you know, revoted. Since
there is no
didn't
bad
change
news. It's just that there was a slight delay. The contracts are not executed. Slight delay because we thought that we had a problem, and the contractor agreed to comply with the spec. It's really that simple. It wasn't clear what he was going to do at first.
And once again, this was, it is our process, and most municipalities, I would assume, but it is ours to have the solicitor look over things, and, we just happened to have an eagle-eyed solicitor that caught it before things proceeded any further, and that really did, prevent a potential issue. So I appreciate that, Mr. Barry. Even though my head was spinning on Friday afternoon, I do appreciate your work.
Well, yeah. We did exactly what you said. Figure out some way to get this done. thank you, Madam President. That's all I have.
Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, a good segue here. On March 6th, we had our pre-construction meeting with our consultant for the playground project. The contracts were signed, the workers' comp certificate was received for $1 million, and we are moving forward. All of the equipment has been ordered. The safety surface ground has been ordered, and all of the paperwork has been processed with all of our funders, so we are good to go. The project was scheduled to begin as soon as possible, and the start date's actually this week, so hopefully we're going to get moving on this pretty quickly here. Well, quickly now. I know it's taken years to get to this point.
Nothing works fast in government.
Right. we're also moving forward with the zoning ordinance update. Pashuk Associates met with the Planning Commission. We received a report on that. They're currently doing an audit of our zoning ordinance to... They met with Planning Commission to hear what the Planning Commission thought was problems with the ordinance and where they'd like to go. Now they're taking a look at the actual language of the ordinance, the legalese of it, and working through that. They're going to be meeting again next week with the Planning Commission to review their findings of the audit, and we will be moving forward from there. Just as an update, council had awarded a sewer repair contract to Jet Jack to work on some of our sewer issues. Due to the cold temperatures and the snow, that work got delayed. Their lining equipment doesn't work in below 32 degrees. They need water. So they worked with our engineers, and we've given them a 30-day extension to complete that work and hopefully get all of the sewers lined, and we'll be moving forward with that. Also, just a reminder that the Easter egg hunt is scheduled for April 12th at Koenig Field. It will begin at noon. If anybody would like to volunteer to come early and help me set up, I'd appreciate it.
What time?
To be there to set up? Probably 10:30 or 11. It won't take that long, but we'd like to have it done well in advance of kids showing up.
That's always fun.
Yes. And it should be good weather this year. Easter's a little later, so
yeah.
Hopefully good weather.
Your mouth to God's
ears. That's all I have.
Any questions for Ms. Bastianini?
What day of the week is the 12th?
It's a Saturday.
That we always have the hunt on Saturday.
What time's the actual Easter egg hunt?
Yeah. Noon.
Yep.
And your property
your
own
bring your own baskets.
Yeah. Yep. This year, it might be helpful if we had some little white bags or something.
Yeah.
Just you know, get, like not huge, but
right,
you
shiny know, little bags.
Yeah, or smaller, something. Like you know, thank you for
okay.
those
right.
You know,
right.
Little white ones that you kind of get at the drugstore or
okay.
Whatever.
Great, I'll see.
Because the big blue ones, I mean, you know,
right.
Not that they don't hoover them up anyway, but
we have several thousand eggs, half candy filled, half toy filled.
Yeah, and if you've not been there, it really is set up well, and that you know there's a section for the very small children, and then the little bit bigger children, and then the almost too big to be at it, but you know really want to do it kind of.
Huh?
Yes.
We do have a cutoff. There we do.
Check birth certificates.
Yeah. So don't try. You know.
Yeah, well, this is really neat. The kiddies can hunt eggs on Saturday and hunt them again on Sunday.
it really is a wonderful thing that kids look forward to and parents. And it's another special neighborhood community building effort that Edgewood does every year. So. Once again, thank you for your efforts, particularly with the playground issue. That was major. New business.
Yeah, I'd like to make a meeting to do a drive-by around the neighborhood and check out the streets.
Okay.
And we'll just schedule a look later in the week. Jason?
Yeah, the only day I can't do is Friday.
Doing it Friday. Wednesdays.
Wednesday look okay?
Yeah. Let's do Wednesday.
Wednesday? Sure.
What's the easiest time for you?
The 19th. Huh? A road tour.
Oh, yeah, not drive-by.
Road
yeah,
tour.
Yeah, I guess I should be calling it a drive-by. We'll be having Officer Miller follow us.
This is what you're accomplishing.
6 o'clock?
6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
Go for it.
6 o'clock on Wednesday.
There's a problem.
Great.
let us know.
Okay. And that's DPW committee and the assistant borough manager going around all the streets and seeing, you know, their condition, and we'll report back to council then.
Okay.
That works great. Any other new business?
The other day I was contacted by a group called Building One PA. I went to a meeting on Connorsville. The meeting was rather well attended, actually, hearing things being discussed, and I guess it's primarily Schuster's district, which included part of Somerset County, though Somerset did not have any representatives there. I did get a hold of several of the contacts I have there, and much like what I learned from going to that meeting and also talking to Edgewood's one and only sewer queen, it is disturbing that the group not only, lots of times in life, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. In this circumstances, it seemed like the right hand didn't even know there was a left hand, and I found that disturbing. However, there's going to be other meetings, and I will attend just in case this group, which their intent seems to be those communities that are deemed to be left behind, the older communities, that the rural communities that are just being forgotten, they're going to unite and ask for fair financial representation or reward, sewers, roads, etc. But again, I was disappointed, but I do believe in being aware of what they're up to, and so I'll attend the next meeting. Anyone else interested, just notify me, and as soon as I know when it is, I'll let you know.
And I appreciate Mayor Cook, you know, your contacting, and part of what happens, we're very fortunate in Allegheny County, particularly in the Alcosan region, that we have organizations that are working well together. You know, we've got Three Rivers But Weather, we've got Connect, the COGS, are all working well together with respect to the consent orders that we're all under. And we've done the financial impact study on every municipality. We've worked together the organizations have worked together to do multi-municipal grants, and to make sure that the limited resources that are available, and they're ever shrinking, as you know, with the state and feds, that the resources are used wisely, and that the resources are going to help solve the problem. And when Mayor Cook shared my contact information with this organization, I was surprised that they had no idea about Three Rivers, about Connect, other than, you know, being able to name someone and what had been going on. And, you know, I think that, you know, we have, Edgewood has always been very careful in discerning the organizations that we participate with, to make sure that the monies that they request are being used wisely, and for the betterment of the region, and not just applying for grants for the grant's sake. If we didn't need a grant, we didn't apply for it. Letting the grant be available for those municipalities that are in need. And through the intermunicipal cooperation with all the 83 municipalities in the Alcosan region, you know, we really do have our wet weather plans, you know, have been working in harmony together, our solicitors, our engineers, our managers, as well as the elected officials in the Alcosan region, continue to meet and to work together. This organization didn't know anything about that, and they come from the eastern part of the state, came out of an organization that actually started with schools and education and then branched out into transportation and sewage issues, and So, you know, when Mayor Cook spoke with me about it, you know, I just said, you know, what my concerns were. And I appreciate you going and, you know, and your assessment of that. And I think, you know, it's just important for us to continue to participate in organizations that are going to do right by the region.
Sorry, what is the name of this organization?
Building One PA.
Building One PA.
You know, it's a hot issue. You know, everybody wants to jump on the transportation sewage infrastructure thing and apply for all these grants. Well, you know, there's a finite amount of grant money, and let's, you know, you want to make sure that the money that is being requested is going to be used to solve the problem, not reinvent the wheel. We already know that.
And as is the case here in Allegheny County, Somerset, because I have contacts there, it's the same thing. They have Southern Alleghenies and a bunch of other groups up there that are already working together to do the right thing. And then here comes a group that is going to be seeking funding as well. And there's a chance that it will just undermine what already exists. And rather than coming and finding out what is already there and how they can partner, it just seems like, hey, we've got this. We're going to do it. And it had me concerned.
Yeah. Well, the red flag for me was whenever they said, well, you know, the money's shrinking. You know, the state money's shrinking. And I thought, well, yeah, and it's going to shrink more, you know. It's not going to get bigger, you know. And you know, we want to solve the problem here. So.
And they're from the eastern part of the state.
Well, and not just it. They're coming from the east here and not even knowing, not having done their homework. And I appreciate your reinforcing what my, you know, I mean, I'm sorry that my concerns were realized, but, you know, at least you realized I wasn't talking through my hat. So, any other new business?
No, except for the COG meeting with Sarah Weck. Which was a very nice evening, by the way, the dinner. But Sarah Weck, within an hour, proved that both Kennedy cases, JonBenet, O.J. Simpson, and Martin Luther King's are all not who was supposed to shoot people.
Ah.
It was very interesting, all within an hour.
I love him.
He's good. He's
I really do.
The old government.
Yeah. He and I shared a day, Pittsburgh day, when I was Nurse of Hope. It was Sarah Weck, Starzl, and me.
Nurse of Hope?
Yeah.
We might have to keep that.
That's
one.
Another life. All right, committee action, third reading of Ordinance 1046. That would be Mr. Wainwright.
Full reading or title reading?
Title.
All right, Borough of Edgewood, Ordinance 1046, an ordinance of the Borough of Edgewood, County of Allegheny, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Amending Section 1 of Ordinance 922 as amended, reducing the membership of the Borough Planning Commission from 7 to 5 members.
Second.
Questions or comments? You want to explain this just one more time?
Sure. Our Planning Commission regulations state that they should have 7 members. The Planning Commission felt that it should be 5. They had trouble getting 7 members. And they were in support of this. We currently do have 5 members due to resignations on the commission that council has not filled, and so this ordinance is just making that the law of the land.
Any other questions? This was advertised?
Yes, this was advertised, read at the last meeting, and then this is the second.
Any other questions or comments? Ms. Bastianini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Dr. Petrola?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye. And the third reading of Ordinance 1046 passes, and the chair now asks, shall this ordinance pass? Ms. Bastianini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Dr. Petrola?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye. And Ordinance 1046 passes. Motion to advertise for finance administrator position, Mr. Fuller.
I move to advertise for openings for full-time finance administrator
Second.
Questions or comments? Mr.
This
Fuller?
Has to do with the succession and the, I guess, not letting anything cut out of the bag. Warren is going to retire in June. Would like to have a person on board to be familiar with this before that so he can learn, they can learn from Warren and Julie about the borough and the various duties.
Bastianini, you want to share anything regarding
that? I think George summed it up. I think that that's, this position would handle the finances for the borough, as you all saw in the description in the ad, and also work in the front as a receiving guests, answering phone calls, questions, helping out, processing paperwork. So it would wear both hats.
So it would be a person who has experience in the municipal computer system.
Yes.
And also has administrator and people skills.
Yes.
And once again, this was built into the budget when we had our budget meeting in anticipation for borough manager moving forward. Yes, Mr. Wilson.
Did you say June 1st?
June 30th is Warren's stated.
So we have another month to get someone in here at least for a couple of weeks.
Right, we think that this was a good time frame so that we can advertise now and hopefully get somebody in.
Is there a job description for this new position?
Yes.
Yes,
there is.
I'd like to see it. I don't think you should hold the
bus. Yeah. I'll get to you.
Yeah, I think I asked about that.
The other thing that I would add is that Warren and Julie are probably going to winnow them down to a few candidates that we need to take a look at.
Right.
And then arrange for interviews. Because they were not 100% sure what kind of candidates they could
have. Well, the other part of it is that this person would be part of the borough staff, and so the manager and the assistant borough manager, as is our procedure in adding to the staff, would be the ones to receive the applications, and you're right to, you know, check qualifications and then do the first and second pass and then bring candidates to the personnel committee and then council. Any other questions?
You'd be hiring from within?
No, I don't think that there's anyone.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Which is why we're advertising.
Good.
You want to call the roll, please?
Sure. Mr. Bray?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Dr. Petrola?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. Motion to accept the letter of resignation of Officer Brian Marcus. Mr. Fuller?
I move to accept Officer Brian Marcus's letter of resignation dated March 4th, 2014, effective March 14th, 2014.
Second.
Questions or comments?
This is one of the reasons why we interviewed and probably are going to hire part-time officers. Officer Marcus had a lot of shifts for the chief, and he is going to become a full-time officer in the city of Detroit. So we wish him well.
Any other questions? It was a wonderful resignation letter. I'd be sorry to. He's in his letter, however, he says effective March 16th. In our motion says
his 14th. Last day was Friday.
It was the 14th, mm-hmm. Okay. the city of Pittsburgh is getting a good officer.
Well trained,
and really did work well with the community. So, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Then the motion passes with well wishes for Officer Marcus. Is there anything else to be brought before council? Do we need an executive session for any reason? I don't believe so. All right, then.
We have a second.
Just to remind folks that we've got this Wednesday, we've got a drive around for DPW. Our next council meeting will be April 6th, because opening day is the 31st. April 6th. Meeting adjourned. Have a nice day.
We have a sign. There's